Take a look here. We're going to read verses 17 through 19 in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Let's begin here with prayer. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for these accounts of great men and women of faith, who by faith won great victories, who by faith endured great trials, but who just continued to live with that vision that they served a God who answered, a God who kept his word, a God who was worthy of their trust. As we consider tonight this record of Abraham going out there on Mount Moriah, willing to offer his only son, the son of promise, Isaac, pray, Father, that you would use this to encourage us to live by faith, to trust you even when it doesn't make sense. So we just commit this time to you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Abraham, and I'm very old, old man. People describe me as the father of a great nation, a man of great faith. But I'm just like anyone else here. Well, maybe I'm different in one way, though. When God gives me a test in my spirit, I know I must obey. Let me tell you a story about the greatest test I ever had to endure. I first heard God's voice at the old age of 75. I was 75. But hearing God's voice was very rare back then, so it was a great occasion for me. And God told me, leave your home, leave your family, and go to a place that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I was very excited about having my children be a great nation. And I kind of knew this was my life purpose. Because as a boy, my father named me Abram, which means exalted father. I knew my purpose was to be great. Unfortunately, though, Sarah and I, we didn't have any children. So we thought, how great a nation can you be when you don't have any children? We had no children at all, not even one. So when God told me we would have children, I was excited and I was ready. And I waited. And I waited. And I waited. And I waited a long time. Never had any kids. So I figured that couldn't have been what God meant. It didn't make sense. So we decided to adopt my nephew Lot. I figured Lot could be the heir and be a great nation someday. So we took Lot in for a while, and he was very wealthy, and I was very wealthy. We had many herds and many herdsmen, but they were always fighting. And Lot, I think he, in his heart, he's a righteous man. Unfortunately, he had many worldly tendencies. And it came the day when we felt like we needed to separate, because there was so much strife. So that didn't work out. He was not the one. I knew God had something. He was going to make a great nation. It wasn't Lot. So I thought there must be another way. And one day, as I was laying in my bed, the Lord spoke to me again and said, I will make of you a great nation. And so I said, I think I know how this is going to happen, Lord. It will be Eliezer, my servant. He's born in my house. He will be my heir. But God said, no, it's not Eliezer. It's someone that will come directly from you. So I waited some more. I waited patiently for the Lord to give what He provided. And one day, Sarah, in her old age, said to me, she knew how the Lord would provide. It would be through her servant, Hagar. As was the tradition in the day, I could take her servant, and we could have that heir that we always wanted, and what God had promised. And so we did. I love Ishmael, but that was a terrible, terrible mistake. There was a lot of conflict and fighting between Hagar and my wife. It was an awful period in our family. We had two homes in one, and they were divided and unhappy. And finally the Lord said to me, 1 year from now, when you are 100, you will finally have that son. And we didn't believe it at first. We were so old. But at the age of 100, I finally had the son God had promised me, Isaac. And we named him Isaac because he made us laugh. He was a joy. We were a happy family. And one day God told me to send away Ishmael, my other son, and Hagar. And it was difficult because I loved them. But I knew I had to obey God. And so I sent them on their way so God could take care of them. So finally it was the happy home that we'd always wanted. It was my wife, myself, and my son. We were living what God had always promised us. We were very joyful. After many years of testing, God had provided for us. And it was all very happy and joyful until one day, one night as I lay in my bed, God spoke to me through a vision. It was very frightening to hear God's voice. God had decided to test my faith to see how much I trusted Him. And God told me, "The son that I promised you, you must offer him as a sacrifice." Oh, the words weighed so heavy. I couldn't believe my ears, but I knew what God had said. And I knew, being a man of faith, I would obey. So that night, I tossed and turned in bed all night, worse than normal. I couldn't sleep a wink. I just counted down the hours until the sun would rise. Finally, mercifully enough, morning broke forth, and I was able to get up from the bed. I wanted to get an early start in the day to do what God had said. So I summoned my servants, and I summoned my son Isaac, and I said, "We're going to go offer a sacrifice." And so the four of us began to walk towards Mount Moriah in the far distance. It was a hot day, I remember it, and there was a soft breeze that blew on my cheek in the desert. The sun began to rise. It was a very, very hot day. I began to trickle of sweat went down my back as I began to walk. And the mountain became closer and closer and larger. And finally I told my servants, "Go back." I did not want them to stop me. I knew I had to obey God. So then after a while, it was just my son and I. We began to walk. And he's much younger. He was in good shape. And so I said, "You can carry all the wood." So he carried the wood. We began to go up the mountain. And he stopped me halfway up the mountain and said, "Father, where's the sacrifice?" And I said, "God will provide Himself a sacrifice." And he didn't understand, but we just kept walking. Up, up we went to the top of the mountain. Finally, it was time. We placed the wood in the right place to create an altar. And he helped me. We made it the way we'd made it so many times before we'd offer a sacrifice. And finally, I told him to come to me, and he had learned to obey me from a young age. I pulled out the rope. I began to tie up his hands and tie up his feet. And he looked at me with a questioning look, but he didn't say a word. And I laid him, the son that I loved so much, I laid him on that altar. And finally, I knew it was time to do the one thing I didn't want to do. Something I'd done hundreds of times, just not to him. And I looked at him, the son that I loved so much. I had waited so many years for him. I had longed to be this great father for so long. And here he was, laying tied on the altar. I thought, "I know how to do this quick." I didn't want to do it. My heart was pounding. And even though it was hot, I had goosebumps on my arms. My last thought as I looked at him was, you know, God had promised me this son. He could raise him back up to life and bring him back to life. So I'm going to trust him. He'll die this day. But if God wants him and he's truly the son of the promise, then he'll be raised up again. My arms seemed so heavy. I thought I'd better do this quick. I raised my arms. My heart was just racing in my chest. I thought, well, the only thing I can do is obey. I lifted my arm, and as I began to lower it, I heard God yell, "Stop! Do not hurt your son." God said to me, "I know that you love me more than anything else, even your son." I thought, I took a second to catch my breath, and I used that same knife to cut my son loose, to cut the bonds free. Just then we looked up, and God told me, "Look in the bushes." And there was a ram caught in the bushes, and we pulled it out. And we offered that instead as a sacrifice. And God promised to bless me that day because I had chosen to pass the test and be a man of faith. He said, "I'm going to bless you in a special way. Your descendants from your nation will be like the stars in the sky. There'll be so many of them. Counting your descendants will be like counting the grains of sand on the beach." He said, "There'll be a land for your children that they'll inherit, and your children will be a blessing to every nation." I thought, wow, what a wonderful promise. I was so thankful that I obeyed God. You know, some of us in here today, I bet, are going through similar trials, and that God is testing our faith as well. God is testing to see whether we'll obey. Sometimes He tests us. It seems like He tells us to go one direction one day, perhaps another direction another day to obey Him in doing His will, maybe in a career or testing our heart for ministry. But I want to tell you from my example, having tested God myself, we must obey God if we're to be people of faith. I'm an ordinary man, but yet God has used me because of my faith. I would encourage you, trust God, even when it doesn't make sense. And let God make the decisions. You follow Him and trust Him and give Him your hearts. And He will make something beautiful out of what you give Him. Now I've got to go. Oh, my back is killing me. I'll see you guys later.